right, good morning. If everyone would please grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. You can actually go to Isaiah 42. I'm going to read just a verse out of Romans here before we begin. And Romans 15, verse 4, it says this. It says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Pretty awesome verse, huh? We've been looking, starting last week, in Isaiah, and there are what scholars call the four servant sections or servant songs of Isaiah. Isaiah 42 was where we looked at last week, and we're going to continue on today to Isaiah 49. The name Isaiah, interestingly enough, means Yahweh is salvation, which I think is pretty cool. And the book of Isaiah paints our God in this picture of the salvation that he brings. Isaiah lives in a very tumultuous time. Israel and Judah are split. There's lots of political unrest. There's lots of threats of war. There's a lot of people who have turned to idol worship, Canaanite idol worship at that time. And things are about to get worse, because in about 100 years, Babylon is going to come in and is going to take over and take both Israel and Judah into exile. So this is the context that Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is written in. Okay? But what I want is not only to just enjoy today the scriptures from the context in which it was written, but also in the day and time we live, right? And really, you know, times and seasons across history, while they're all different, they're all so very similar, right? How about threats of war? How about political unrest? How about those who ought to be faithful compromising and serving idols instead of the one true God? How about culture that has gone towards the service of itself versus the service of its creator, right? Not too different situation. But Yahweh is salvation. And what did it say in Romans? Through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures that we might have hope. And so we go to the Old Testament and we learn of our great faithful God, of his salvation, and how it both applied to those people that day, but also to us today. In chapter 39 of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies to Hezekiah the king about that coming captivity, where Babylon's going to come in and take over. And then starting in chapter 40 of Isaiah, there's actually much prophecy regarding that day and that time and how God was going to deliver them from that captivity. Okay? But not just the captivity of Babylon. He's going to deliver God's people from the captivity of sin and death, and the ultimate deliverance, which will be found in the Messiah that he will send. Isn't that awesome? And I'll tell you, this book of Isaiah, it really is, it declares the gospel of the coming Messiah, of his death and ultimately resurrection and glorification. And it's found in this book. And so these four sections, these servant sections, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, and then one Isaiah 52, 53. These sections are clearly speaking of this servant, the Messiah who would come. I'm going to pray, then we're going to start doing some reading together here. Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your word and just the clarity that it gives us. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray for your help this morning as we go to your word to know you, to see our Lord Jesus, and to just bask in the glory of what you've given us in him. And we praise you and we thank you in his name. Amen. Isaiah 42, I'm just going to read it just to kind of get a running start from what we looked at last week. And I want you to note the perspective that it's written from, whose perspective it's written from. 42 verse 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, the spirit in those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? And you can see the perspective this is written from is God is speaking of his servant. And then God is speaking to his servant in verse 6 where it says, "Behold, I'm the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. And I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations." This next servant section we're going to go to is Isaiah 49, if you'd turn there with me, please. Isaiah 49. And I'm going to start by just reading from verse 1 to verse 13, which is this section. And again, note the perspective that it's written from. "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples, from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God.' And now the Lord says, 'He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength.' He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the servant of rulers.'" And this is what he says. "Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways, on all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them, for he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinai. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. And that is the conclusion of that section regarding the servant of the Lord. Note the perspective that it's written from. Remember, we were reading in 42, and it's the perspective of God, and he's speaking of his servant and then to his servant. And here, it's the servant speaking of himself and of the things which God has spoken of him. Do you see that? You see how those are in there? And I think it's really, really fun just to see this. But there's a couple big themes here I want you to see for yourself. First off is, again, God is salvation for his people. God is faithful. And you're going to see through this, it's his doing and his purposes that are coming to pass here. And so as his people, we can read this, not only see the deliverance that he brought to Israel through his son Jesus Christ, but ultimately to all people, of which we get to be a part, right? And so there's great comfort and endurance and hope to be found here, because the God who we believe in is the one who wrote these things and brought them to pass. And that's one application. The other thing to see and just to enjoy is the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ would have read these very same scriptures. And there's certain points in there where it talks of his discouragement. Might he have felt discouraged at times in the midst of his ministry? Was he not tempted in all ways like as we are, and yet without sin, right? But then to read from God's word that this would be part of what that servant would feel, and yet God would be faithful and bring to pass his word and his will through this man's life. It's pretty remarkable. I want to go verse by verse. There's some gold in here that we want to just look at and enjoy. Again, Isaiah chapter 49. And look how this opens. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you people from afar. That's you and me, right? We're encouraged. Listen. Open your ears. Pay attention. Look at this. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. Luke 1:31 says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, right? Remember, we've been looking at that. And you see right here, from the womb, you're going to call me. Verse 2, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me, and he made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And that sharp sword in his mouth is talking of the power of the word of the servant, of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it's him. He's depicted this way in Revelation chapter 1. You know, when John sees him, he says, in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. That's the prophetic revelatory vision that John has of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a sharp sword. You know, it talks later on how he will bring down the rebellion with just the word of his mouth. You know, his word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. dividing asunder, right? Soul and spirit, joints and marrow. So the word of God that's going to come forth out of this servant is powerful and has impact. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." And here it's referring to the servant as Israel. It's because our Lord Jesus Christ came out of Israel. And so it's not a far stretch. The promise was found in Israel. "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity." Right? We referred to this just earlier. Tempted in all ways like as we are. But you know what's neat about this here? Verse 4. This is the servant speaking. "I've labored in vain." This is how he feels. "I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity." You know, back in 42, where God was speaking, I'm going to quote this from verse 4. He says, "He will not grow faint or discouraged till he has established justice in the earth." Isn't that cool? He will not grow faint or discouraged. Can you imagine you're in the midst of this time where the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering, perhaps on the cross itself? There could be the temptation to be discouraged in that moment. To know from God's faithful word that you wouldn't be discouraged to the point of falling or giving up until you'd established righteousness on the earth. How comforting would that be, right? "Yet surely," the end of verse 4, "my right is with the Lord and my recompense with my God." He knows where his righteousness comes from. "And now the Lord says, 'He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength.'" He says, and this is what God says of his servant, it's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." You see what he's saying here? The servant says, "Look, I'm here to restore Israel, to bring Israel back to God." And then God says, "Hey, just to bring Israel back to you is too light of a thing. I'm not only going to do that, but I'm going to bring the whole world and reconcile them to myself by you." How awesome is that, right? Hey, is that not where we get in, right? You know what the Lord says to Paul? On the road to Damascus, he says this. He says, "I'm sending you to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." What a statement, right? There's that faithful servant bringing to pass the very words that God has spoke back here in Isaiah and many other places. It's too light a thing. I love that. It's God saying, we're going for all of them. Not just Israel. Reach to the ends of the earth. Verse 7, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers." Boy, look at what is being said here. This is what God is saying, the Lord is saying in verse 7, to the Redeemer, to the servant, the one who's deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, servant of rulers. "Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Can you imagine the comfort that would be in that moment? of seeing the very nation that you're sent to as the Lord Jesus Christ abhorring you, putting you on a cross. And yet, what is God going to do? Every knee is going to bow, both in heaven and earth. Every knee, every tongue will confess, right? Because God is faithful. It's what he's doing. Hey, are we at times, certainly all the time, truthfully, in our culture, in our world, we're abhorred. Christianity and the tenets of what we believe are considered evil in the day and age in which we believe. They are. And so we will be abhorred in the eyes of the world when we stand on and confess and believe the word of God as it's given to us. And yet, what hope do we have, right? And we're going to be in him. We are in him. We have our inheritance in him. It says we're going to be glorified together with him. It's mind-blowing to me to even conceptualize that. We'll be glorified together with him. See what comfort, what endurance, what patience and hope these scriptures provide for us even today. Maybe especially today. Verse 8. Oh, I wanted to point out this too. I just love this. The end of verse 7. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of who? The Lord, who is faithful. The Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is God again speaking to his servant. They're going to do this. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess because of me, God, who's faithful. Right? The Holy One who's chosen you, my servant. Pretty awesome. Then verse 8, thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land. And I love this. I want to stop you here for a minute. Thus says the Lord. Who's quoting the Lord here in the context? If you remember the perspective this is written from, it's written from the servant. The servant is quoting the Lord. Where did the Lord say this? Back in 42. Back in 42, the other servant section, verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people. And here the servant says, thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways. On all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them. Boy, isn't that tender and gentle? Just, you know, when I read a verse like this, and I know it's written to, you know, to a people in a time, but these are timeless verses. You know, do you ever hunger and thirst? Maybe not physically in America in the 20s, you know. But there's deep application here. The hungry, the thirsty, those who are in darkness, those who are in prison. And it's this invitation, come out, appear. They're not going to hunger or thirst anymore. For he has pity on them. He who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 11, and I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene. Sing for joy. And I just love this final verse in this section in chapter 13, in verse 13. Because look at what the response is. It says here, sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. Both heaven and earth rejoice at God's salvation, the salvation of our God, found in our servant, in his servant. Are you his people? Yeah. Are you at times afflicted? Yeah. Well, he's comforted his people, and he's had compassion upon his afflicted, right? And we see that right here in his word. So the encouragement, you know, in this section is that God is going to bring to pass his salvation through his servant, that he's faithful, that he sees the need of his people, not just Israel, but the whole world. And there's application here for deliverance now and deliverance that's ultimately going to come when heaven and earth will sing his praises for all that he's done. So as it says in Romans, right, these scriptures are written for us, that through endurance, patience, encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Right? And I'm just going to leave you with that. Okay. Be encouraged. Have hope and endure. Because our God is a faithful God, okay? All right. Father, just want to thank you for your word and thank you for opening it to us this morning. Thank you for these wonderful people here. All of us that we get to read and learn and obey and be your kids. We praise you and we thank you for it in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.